As Charlie Minner mentioned in his talk with the Tree of Life, some really exciting things have been going on in Lepidoptera phylogenetics in the past little while, including a real ramp-up in the amount of work that's being done both morphologically and molecularly in the Puralloids. This is a group that has received, has had a real paucity of work in the past, and it's really exciting to be working with a number of different collaborators on really looking at some of the evolutionary patterns that are occurring in this group. And so this is actually going to be the first molecular phylogeny of the physetines and even the Puralloids in general. And so just a broad overview here. So the Puralloidae is a very large superfamily, which is broken up into two families. There's 16,000 described species, and of course many more undescribed. And I know Puralloids have a bit of a bum rap. They're often considered dull, drab moths, but as you can see, we actually have some very, very attractive individuals within this group. And in addition to the morphological diversity that we can see within this group, there's also a real diversity in larval life history, and this is really interesting because we can start looking at how this group is diversified into a wide range of plants as well as a wide range of feeding styles. So you can see we have things that are leaf tires, tissue miners, and the other interesting thing with this group is they are often pest species because of this mining habitat and this mining habit. And understanding how these pest species have evolved can give us insight into other groups which may become a problem in the future. So the family that I'm going to focus on here, the Pyralidae, has five subfamilies, and the largest of which is the physetines, which will be the focus of this talk. Now, a preliminary Pyralid phylogeny was conducted by Alma Solis and Charlie Minner in 1992, and we see that the physetines are sister to the Epipashiines, and there are some additional groupings here, some of which are resolved, some of which are not. And I'm coming back to this and compare this to the relationships that I find within my tree. Now, in the past, physetines have been avoided by many researchers because some workers have stated that working on physetines is a vain and futile performance. They have a lot of congruent evolution in the male and female genitalia, which has made morphological classifications very difficult. And unfortunately, this has been reiterated throughout the literature. But although Heinrich did state that it was not worth exploring, he did produce this chart, really, which groups the taxa in North America into either hindwing groups, which are in the vertical groups here, and then broke those up based on larger genitalic variation. And so I'm going to compare sort of this grouping to the molecular phylogeny that I obtained for the physetines. Now, as I said, this has been reiterated throughout the literature, but Marion Horak, in a re-examination of a number of genera in 1997 and 2003, did acknowledge that with some additional work and exploring additional morphological character groups, such as sexual structures in the eighth abdominal tergum of the male, may provide hope for a morphological phylogeny, which Thomas Simonson is actually going to be presenting after me later in this session, but acknowledges that there may be need for that molecular data to help provide structure to the tree. And so I was able to sample 39 species in the Pyralids, most of which were in the physetines, and then included a large number of outgroup taxa because we really don't know how those groups are related and what the sister group to the Pyralids are in the Crambid subfamilies. And I was able to sample both CO1 and EF1 alpha and performed a partitioned Bayesian analysis of this data. So again, as I had said, we have these lunation groups from Heinrich in the vertical columns and then the genitalic groups horizontally. And the taxa highlighted in blue are ones that I had included. And these genitalic and wing groupings I will come back to in a few minutes. So, some results. So here's a large tree. I don't want you to look at it. I'm going to break this down here in a second. So here's just a summary of the subfamily relationships. You can see that the pyralids form a strongly supported monophyletic clade, which is excellent. That supports the morphological relationships that had been resolved previously. But then, you'll notice, with fairly strong resolution and strong support, the crambids form a paraphyletic group relative to the pyralids. But since these were included as my outgroups, and there are no groups outside of the pyraloids, it's difficult to say anything strongly about these relationships. Now, just going back to Solis and Mitter in 1992, you'll notice that there is a definite difference between the morphological phylogeny that had been obtained and the molecular phylogeny that we find, with the physetines forming a sister group to the galerines and the epipaxiines, and then the pyralidae and the chrysogenae form a sister group, and those, again, form a monophyletic clade. And then the sister group to the pyralids are the galerines, which is a relationship that had not been resolved historically. So now let's just zoom into the tree a little more, and we're going to focus on the physetines. Now, rather than focusing really on the names here, just sort of focus on the larger groups. And we'll notice at the base of the tree, there's really short branches and very little support for these relationships. And this actually was kind of surprising, because I would have expected that the relationships at the base of the tree to have been the ones would have been the ones causing the most problem. But rather, it was within the tree here that the resolution had failed, or that the data was not available to provide resolution. Now, if we look at the historical classification of the physetines, we can see that there definitely is some work that is needed. So the groups within the physetine, so this is the tribal classification, based on Matthias Nuss's Globius pyraloid database, which, if you've never checked out, is really, if you're interested in pyraloids, it's definitely a very interesting clearinghouse for all pyraloid information. And you'll notice that we have a really broken up tribe of physetines, but more interestingly, we have the other tribe nested within members of the physetine clades, the Anserinae, nest within this, suggesting we really need to focus our collecting on this other tribe to figure out how this tribal relationship falls apart. This also suggests that some major revision is going to be needed of the group in the future. So now let's go back to that that chart that Heinrich had put together. We'll first just look at the wing venation groups. And you'll notice, focus on the sort of hindwing venation here. So we have a hindwing with the M2 and the M3 vein present. And we'll notice it generally sort of falls into this clade right here, with the exception of this individual down here. While the hindwing M2, M3, or with a single M2, M3 vein forming this larger basal clade, which it does suggest that there is signal from the morphological characters. There just may be some homoplasy present. So if we look at the genitalia, we also notice that his groups do conform sort of to the relationships that we found within the phylogeny, and with some exceptions. And so what we can take from this is that there is hope for the morphological characters, and that the molecular data is providing insight to help score and understand how these morphological characters are evolving. And one thing I want to point out, as I mentioned before, those sexual structures on the male abdomen 8, you'll see at the base of the tree here, we start with these really puffy, undifferentiated structures, these scale brushes. But as you move up the tree, you get to these very complex, very differentiated and grouped scale brushes. And so there may be some very interesting questions to ask about these sexual structures and how they evolve within the physetines. And now another interesting avenue is how the physetines feeding characteristics have evolved. And so we started by looking at the type of feeding. So if you look at the base of the tree, most of the larvae are tissue miners. They live internally within the tissue. But as you move up the tree, you actually notice we have an open feeding or leaf tying habit. And so again, this is where getting more information of the larval history can help provide insight in how this group has evolved. Unfortunately, this is less of a trend, but you'll notice the base of the tree, many of our groups are very polyphagous. And then up at the top of the tree, we have a more narrow-focused larval feeding guild. But again, more information will be needed to get a better idea of how these traits are evolving. So, in general, things are exciting in the pyraloids. We're finding some really interesting results. The pyralids are monophyletic, and we'll have to get some more data to understand where the crambids are falling out. The subfamilies are monophyletic, and that additional work is going to be needed in the classification, as well as getting more morphological and larval history to understand the evolution of this group. And some acknowledgments, and I'm done.
Thank you. I'm going to time for one quick question.
Oh, oops.
Get out of here. All right.
James.
Do you have a plan to sample the taxa out and prioritizing the taxa or clades?
Yeah, the question was whether we have a taxon sampling plan focusing on other groups. This was just a shotgun sampling. We hadn't done anything yet. The focus is going to be trying to get other groups from beyond North America. So these taxa were North American alone. We really need to get into Australia, into Africa, and pretty much all over the world to get some of these other diversifications, just to get a sense of where things are evolving. Because we know so little about the tribal classifications within the Physetines, we have to pretty much sample very broadly to help focus, figure out where the lineages are.